Good friends, good evening, and thank you for joining us for another Gnostic Lab for practical application. Today, what we would like to do is dedicate some time and expand on the topic of the observer and the observed. This is certainly a critical ability that we must all develop. And if you would like to take a look directly at what Samael is giving us on this particular topic, we invite you to look at chapter number 13 in the book Revolutionary Psychology. So if you happen to have this book, by all means, feel free to go get it. Chapter 13 on the observer and the observed, and just follow up with us because we're going to expand on what Samael is giving us. Now, we need to develop the ability to observe and be observed simultaneously. There is an aspect of us that is an observer. And science has known this for many, many years now. Actually, back in the 20th century, there was an experiment that was done where in the laboratory there were a series of particles that were being fired through a slit. It is called a slit experiment. Now, these particles were not just regular particles. Those particles were essentially subatomic particles. Yes, they were subatomic particles. They were components of the atom. So photons were being fired. And as they were being fired, they were fired through a little barrier that had two slits. And in the back, what the scientists did to be able to record the impact of the particles that were able to pass through the slits themselves, they had a little film of gold. So they start the experiment, and as they start the experiment and they are observing, they notice that because there are two slits, after a while of those particles being fired through the slit itself, it created a signature, an imprint in that particular film of gold, in that little layer of gold, that was indicative of where the openings of the slit were. But whenever the observer was not present, those particles were continued to be fired, and rather than creating the two distinct patterns, those two distinct signatures, it created a pattern of interference that is more natural with the flow of waves, not the flow of particles. So rather than having two lines on that layer of gold, They ended up having multiple lines of varying densities of impact. And this certainly shocked them. But what quantum physics comes to explain to us is that the observer cannot be discarded. There is a necessity to have an observer present so that we can do what they refer to as collapsing the quantum wave. This is how that phenomena manifests. Now you can see now, why is it that some people have the ability to see, detect, and perceive certain things and other people do not? There is an observer that must be present, and that observer exists in each and every one of us. Specifically, as that psychic material that we have been given to be able to create the soul. It is that observer, the most divine thing that exists within us. That observer is indeed the consciousness. It is the essence, and it emanates as a spark from the human soul of our being. So it has all the attributes and all of the faculties of the human soul of our being. But it is not. It has all of the attributes and faculties of the being, but it is not the being. You see? And our consciousness, because it has been fragmented and it has been spread and distributed within all of these psychological aggregates, well, then it has become too weak. It has become too conditioned. It has become too hypnotized. And this is why we walk from one point to the other. And we get there and we don't even remember what happened between point A and point B. This is why we walk from one room of the house into the next one. And the moment we cross the door, we stop. And we freeze time and we ask ourselves, what was I going to do? Because we just don't remember. This is exactly why there are many who sit and they try to pray. And as they are trying to pray, whether the Hail Mary or the Our Father or the Apostles' Creed or whatever, they start praying it, and before long they start asking and wondering, where was I? Did I actually finish that prayer? You see? Because the consciousness is just too fragmented. The consciousness is too asleep. But we need to take advantage of whatever consciousness we still have left awake. And when we take advantage of it, when we put it to use, then we effectively put into practice, put into motion, we start exercising the observer. And the thing is that the moment that you start observing yourself with the understanding that you are not just one, but that there are many roaming within that human machine, then it is then that you truly start becoming able to start working in all of that baggage that each one of us carries. The moment that we acknowledge that it is not just a single I, it is at that moment that we start making ourselves ready to be able to do this exercise of being an observer and observing ourselves, which is part of that remembrance of self. But let us tell you this. If there is anybody out there who sees themselves as a unity, if there's anyone out there who is not capable of separating each of those undesirable aspects of the psyche, if there's somebody out there who is thinking that their sentiments and their emotions and their desires, that their affections, that they are all different functionalities of their own nature, that person is destined to fail. Because if we are out there and we are thinking that every thought that we have cannot be changed, if we start thinking that everything that we say that creates chaos, that hurts others, is normal because we are, quote-unquote, we are only human, then we're going to be justifying all of our mistakes. And every time that we start justifying them, the more, for the sake of understanding, we could say the more solidarity we start giving and sharing with this inhumanity that we carry within. And if we do that, then the future becomes very bleak. If anyone wants to truly and sincerely start observing themselves, the moment that they start doing that, they will inevitably trigger the phenomena of the observer and the observed. That fraction of consciousness will be capable of observing, and it will be observing the thoughts, the sentiments, the emotions, the habits, the impulses, the reactions of the ego. But if that division does not take place, then we will never be able to make any progress in our work of self-discovery. We have to make the effort of observing ourselves. When we do that, we become capable of understanding what happens. Because if you do not make an effort to observe yourself, how are you going to be able to change your circumstances if you don't even know what is happening? How is someone going to be able to state that they know themselves if they have not ever observed themselves internally? How can someone claim to know themselves if they are constantly justifying their own mistakes? You see? Nobody can start changing until, and this is what Samael tells us, nobody can actually start changing until they tell themselves, this animal desire that I am carrying within is an inhumane part of me that must be eliminated. No one is going to be able to change radically until they are observing themselves and they can say, these thoughts that I am having that are tormenting me, I have to disintegrate them. You see that? There is really no future. There is no opportunity that someone is going to transform themselves radically if they find themselves emotionally hurt, and they don't say, this sentiment that is hurting my heart, this is an aggregate that I need to reduce into cosmic dust. You see that? Because the moment that those aggregates become eliminated, insults will not matter. They will not affect you. The moment that those animal impulses become eliminated, then lust is no longer a problem. Then violence ceases to exist. Then there is a true manifestation of love. You see that? But if to the contrary, if we're always taking all of our psychological processes as if they were the functioning of that oneness that some people refer to as themselves, as that beingness, then they're going to remain identified in all of their mistakes. Then they're going to keep justifying all their own errors. Then the demon of the mind will continue to thrive because it's never its fault. It is always blaming somebody else. Then the demon of desire, it would be constantly celebrating because it would be seeking just to satisfy all of its interests. And what could we say about the demon of the ill will? That one would be celebrating the most. Because then it would invite itself to think that it is so great, that it is so phenomenal, that it is such a nice person. While in the meantime, it is creating chaos and it is creating destruction and suffering for others. So what is it that we need to observe within our own selves? Samael tells us, an obstacle for the work of self-observation are defects like defects of mythomania. As you know, this week and last week, we have been looking at some of those egos that we must seek to comprehend and that we need to work on. So mythomania should not sound like a new thing to you. So he says, we need to start working on that mythomania. What is mythomania? Well, this is a delirium of thinking that you are so great. The belief that you are a god. The belief that you are a master, an adept, that you are a saint. That's mythomania. But what other defects? He says you also need to work with those egos of selfishness. That thinking that we have, that we are a permanent I. All that adoration that we hold towards ourselves and this beliefs of the things that we are, you see? He says you have to eliminate those egos of paranoia that you carry within, of thinking that you are all-knowing, thinking that you are self-sufficient. You have to eliminate all that conceitedness. All these feelings that we carry, that we think that we are indestructible, that we are, you know, Tarzan's dad, and as he says, the mom of the little chickens. We have to eliminate from us that mystical pride. We have to eliminate from ourselves All those aspects that have no clue about looking at things from the perspective of someone else. He says, if you don't work on these things, you're going to be facing all of these obstacles. So if we're going to observe something, start looking at your mythomania. Start looking at your selfishness. Start looking at your paranoia. Look at your conceitedness. Look at your mystical pride. Look at these ideas that we start creating, that because we have been hearing and learning about Gnosis for the last 5, 10, or 15 years, that we know so much of it. This is what we have to look for. So in our practice tonight, what we will do is that we will help you get relaxed. And as we do that, the purpose of the exercise is that you continue tonight with an exercise in retrospection. Go back and revisit your day. But start at the moment that you sat down and closed your eyes to do the exercise. So that as you are revisiting your day, you can go back and look once again at your thoughts, your emotions, your sentiments, your habits, as you were listening to this Gnostic Lab tonight. And then look at what you were doing before you sat down to listen to this lecture. And then continue looking backwards. What happened by the time that sunset came around and the time that you had dinner? What happened at the end of the workday? What happened during the afternoon? What happened mid-afternoon? What happened at noontime? What happened mid-morning? What happened in the morning? What happened at the time that you opened your eyes? If you can, continue going back into your dream if you still remember it. But the moment that you find those events that were shocking events today, and allow us to tell you, every day brings their good deal of shocking events. That needs clarification. All those events where you find yourself having to raise your voice, having to justify mistakes, having to be lying to defend yourself, all these moments where you found discomfort, that you were uncomfortable, that there was some kind of nervous hysteria within you. Oh, those are all those moments. So look at them and pick one. Don't get too distracted. Just pick one and do it right. And then observe your thoughts. Observe your emotional state at the time that that happened. Observe your sentiments. Observe your habits as that ego was assuming control of the human machine. Observe how your impulses for survival came into play. And then see, as you put and integrate all that picture together, how is it that that drained you and stole from you of your own creative force? And as you have that level of comprehension, then remember to invoke of your Divine Mother. Invoke of her with infinite love. Ask of her to eliminate for you that psychological aggregate that you have comprehended. So allow us to work with you tonight. Allow us to help you relax your body. And then let's do some Hamsa. Hamsa. To help us transmute our creative energies, to help us prime the flow of those solar and lunar atoms from our creative organs all the way up to the brain and then to the heart. Let's make that energy available so that you can offer it to your Divine Mother and that she can use it for the elimination of your defect. Now, a word of caution to our lady friends who are joining us in this lecture. If you happen to be experiencing at the time that you're hearing this practice, if you're suffering, perhaps we shouldn't say suffering, even though it brings plenty of suffering to women. But if this is that time of the month where you're going through your menstrual cycle, do not transmute. Do not work and do pranayama. It's okay to do meditation. Okay, it is okay to chant the mantras E, A, O, U, A and allow your chakras to vibrate in harmony. But let's not work on transmutation, because the exercise of breathing as your body is trying to eliminate those deleterious, read into that, toxic substances, it will be bringing of those toxic substances all the way up into your body and into the brain. And then you're going to get a headache. Then you're going to be more moody. Then it's going to be problematic. Okay. The goal is to allow the body to regenerate itself. So let the body do that. If that's the case, then listen to the practice. Meditate while we're doing it. But don't do it. Wait until your menstrual cycle is over and then transmute. So let's go ahead and let's sit comfortably. As we are sitting in a comfortable posture, let's allow our feet to rest flat on the floor. Let's rest our hands comfortably on our thighs. And close your eyes. If the computer screen is right in front of you and that light, it bothers you, then throw a towel over the screen. Minimize the amount of that radiation, that light, so that at this time of the night, that we do not throw off the cycles of our pineal gland. Let's take a deep breath in one, two. One, two. One, two. Divine Father, we are here humbly at your presence, asking you and begging you with our soul and our heart that you guide us through this exercise. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your alert novelty and your alert perception. As we do this practice, lead us into a deep and profound relaxation of our body. Aid us in the transmutation of our creative energies through the practice of Hamsa. And then give us the necessary awareness so that we can effectively become observers of our own actions, of our own thoughts, of our own sentiments. So be it. We continue with our breathing. And let's relax our body, making use of that practice that we have learned, where we project the pulsations of our heart. In this partial state of relaxation, let's project the pulsations of our heart to the tip of our nose. as we allow our pulse to be projected into our nose, it does not make itself wait. And we can immediately feel that gentle sensation of those pulsations as they come and go, rhythmically and harmoniously. We then transition those gentle pulsations from our nose onto our right ear. And our attention goes onto the right ear, together with those very gentle pulsations. And we experience them only in gratitude and in gratefulness. We do not identify with them, and certainly we do not fascinate with them. Feeling them in our right ear, we then transition them onto our right hand. As we feel those pulsations in our right hand, we can then allow them to transition into our right foot. And as we do that, we can feel the gentle pulsations on our toes. Around the ball of our foot, we can feel the gentle pulsations in our instep, in our ankle, in the sole of our foot. And after experiencing that in alert novelty, gratitude, and alert perception, let's then transfer that gentle pulse into our left foot. And very soon you will feel how those sensations in the right foot slowly fade away. And how they slowly, but harmoniously, build themselves up in our left foot. And with every heartbeat, with every inhalation, and every exhalation, we seek to reach every time a more profound and deeper state of relaxation. Then be observant of your breath. As you breathe in through your nose, and you breathe out through your nose. Allow for the harmonious flow of your breath. And make it so gentle that you cannot even hear the flow of your breath going in and out of your nose. Then let's transition those pulsations from our left foot onto our left hand. We continue enjoying those pulsations in our left hand. And in gratefulness for this moment, we then transfer them into our left ear. Throughout this practice, we have been also putting to use that ability of being both an observer and being observed. It is this level of attention that is necessary at every moment of the day, so that we can effectively see what is happening in our thoughts, so that we can see what is happening with our emotions, what is happening within our habits. And after experiencing those gentle pulsations in our left ear, let's bring them back into the tip of our nose. By now you should feel a very gentle vibration that inundates the physical body. It is a very profound and delicate sensation of comfort. So let's allow those pulsations to dissipate once again throughout all of the human machine. And maintaining this level of relaxation, carrying with us this remembrance of self, on your lap, allow your left hand to be facing up. And gently rest your right hand over the palm of your left. As one hand is resting on top of the other, palms coming together, the left pointing up, the right pointing down. We will do together an exercise of pranayama. There are many exercises of pranayama. Pranayama means the harnessing of the winds. And to that effect, there are many variations and there are many exercises. Samael gives us two of the most effective and powerful ones. He gives us the Egyptian pranayama. And he gives us the Chinese Hamsa. For Hamsa, in this very same posture, we will inhale through our nose slowly until we fill those lungs to capacity. And as we do that, we will mentally chant the mantra That mantra is chanted mentally. And when our lungs are full, we will then exhale all of that air fast, but effortlessly, as we chant the mantra, Sa. You see, we breathe slowly, chanting mentally the mantra, Hum. Sa. Breathe again. Breathe again. Sa. The goal here is for us to be able to make our breathing an eternal inhalation. So the inhalation must be substantially longer than what it takes us to vacate our lungs. So let's start with our practice of Hamsa. Breathing in, chanting mentally the mantra Hum. Sa. Breathing in. Breathing in. Breathing in. Let's continue. With the practice, use your objective imagination to see the flow of those solar atoms from the bottom of your spine, spiraling up your spine into the brain, and as you exhale, see them being deposited into your heart. Allow your breath to return to its normal flow. And gently bring your hands back onto your thighs. With every deep exhalation, you regain back your profound relaxation. And at this moment, start with your retrospective exercise. Revisit once again the events that took place throughout your day. And identify that one particular event. Ask yourself, what defect was affecting my emotions? If there is a passion, see it. And acknowledge that that is an inhumane aspect that must be eliminated. If you see any thoughts of selfishness, know that those are thoughts that have their roots in a psychological aggregate that torments you and that you must disintegrate it. Continue with your breathing. Identify that event in your retrospection. And observe how that ego affected your thoughts, your emotions, your habits, your creative power. And invoke of your Divine Mother and beg of her to eliminate it.